What I've come to see with my relationships is that they've gone deeper and deeper. People that I met at an event where we got to know each other and we've kept in touch. You've got to be intentional as well. Sometimes we wait for people to come say hi to us and come and build that friendship, that relationship. You've got to be so intentional. And especially as a woman of color, things will not be handed to you. Welcome to Represented, the podcast. I'm Aniki Shuru, racial equity coach for online business owners who want to be intentionally inclusive by building a business that is racially equitable. I created this podcast to normalize a conversation around racial inclusion so that fear is no longer the barrier that gets in the way of doing this work. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Whether you're taking your first steps or you're well-versed in the journey towards racial equity, this space is for you. So welcome home, friend. Let's get started. Where are you from? Really? No, originally, where are you from? Can I touch your hair? Your English sounds so good. Nah, I don't see color. Those statements I've shared are just some of the daily microaggressions that people of color face on a regular basis when they occupy white spaces. Microaggressions are subtle yet negative racial messages that leave the person on the receiving end feeling hurt, humiliated, and even disrespected. You may have used these kinds of statements to start a conversation or even break ice with a person of color, but didn't realize the harm you were causing. That's why I've created a free microaggressions guide with five of the commonly made microaggressions in online coaching spaces that you need to know about and what you can do or say instead. Head over to anikishuru.com/micro to download your free guide. That's anikishuru, GICHURU.com/micro, MICRO. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Represented Podcast. Today, I'm talking about how to network in white spaces as a woman of color. Now, this is a question I've been asked by women of color before. They see me attending events and they think that I'm a natural. And to be quite honest, I'm even cringing as I say that because I don't feel like I'm a natural. I believe that networking and going to the events that I have gone to, primarily where I've been the only person of color or a handful of other women of color, it's come with experience. It's come with putting myself out there over and over and over to get to the place where it looks natural. And so I take that as a compliment. But a lot of times when you look at pictures and you see reels on social media and videos, they don't tell the full story. Those are just highlight reels, and there's a lot that happens behind the scenes that doesn't always get shared or recorded. And so I wanted to take this opportunity, this podcast episode, to share with you how to network in white spaces as a woman of color. And I want to start by acknowledging the challenges that we face. There are a number of challenges when it comes to attending events. First is feelings of isolation due to the fact that there is hardly any representation of us. Dealing with those feelings and coming to the point where one is not necessarily okay, but pushing through nonetheless. There's the feeling of imposter complex. What if I'm not good enough? Is what I have achieved or who I will be sharing I am and what I do up to par with the others? And this feeling of less than. And then there is, of course, thinking of the microaggressions one might have to deal with, because sometimes being in these spaces, the white folks that you get to meet will ask you questions that will constantly remind you that you do not belong. Dealing with unconscious bias. And this happens often where I don't even think it's unconscious bias. Sometimes I think it could be conscious that certain people are treating you a certain way. They do not give you eye contact. They make you feel very othered and make you feel like you do not belong in that space. So there's all of that to deal with. And still have the courage to go. And so today, I want to share with you some of the things that I've learned that have helped me network better and build great relationships that have been lasting relationships. And I'm hoping that these might serve you too. So, the first thing that I've learned to do is get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I know it's probably not what you want to hear because you already know this, but I've had to learn to get comfortable with being the only person who looks like me in that room and just getting comfortable with it and just moving past that. And this has only come through doing it over and over and over again. And also being very selective with the spaces that I now occupy, spaces where I feel a sense of safety, spaces where I feel that if that safety is indeed compromised, I do have allies. I do have people that I can call on and I can say that this is how I felt and truly know that that would be addressed. Number two, I know at the back of my mind that we must network. The only way to grow, particularly if you have an online business, is you cannot build your business in isolation. You cannot progress in your career in isolation. You need people. And so networking allows you to get to know other people. It enhances our lives and the lives of those who we get to meet. We get to enrich their lives as well. So, when you think of some of the beautiful relationships I have, they have stemmed from networking events with white women who have, in many occasions, opened doors for me and mentioned my name in rooms I have never entered. And so, to network, we must. Number three, it builds your confidence. A lot of times, when I speak to women of color and women of color that I coach, that I mentor, I would say one of the top things that they name as something that they want to get really good at is their confidence, just build their confidence level. Because in being a woman of color, we bring a lot to the table that we carry with us as barriers that make us feel less than. It's the language barrier, perhaps the language that we speak, English not being our first language, we struggle to use the right words. So it's language sometimes is a barrier. It is the accent that one has. So pronouncing words differently, where sometimes somebody might have to ask you to repeat what you said. It is our names. Sometimes our names are difficult to pronounce. My Kikuyu name is Nyambura. That is a bit of a tongue twister for people who have never heard of that name before. And so it takes a while for somebody to know and say your name. And so these are just some of the things that I'm just naming because they get in the way. They really, really get in the way of a woman of color going into spaces where they are the only one. But knowing that networking builds your confidence and going in there with an agenda, going in there with an agenda of this is how I'm going to tackle this room. This is how I'm going to walk in. These are some of the questions that I am going to ask. You want to ask meaningful questions. So have a plan, and that will give you confidence as well. And a way that I've found to start a conversation with somebody that I have felt a little bit of a connection is to start with a compliment. And of course, be genuine. Start with a compliment. And I always find that it opens a door for us to then have a conversation. And some great questions that you can ask are, what brought you here today? What are you most looking forward to? Tell me about what you do. What about the presentation today has stayed with you? Is there anything you're looking to action from today? And from there, the asking of those meaningful questions allows you to go deeper with this person. It allows you to get to know them better and build on that. One question that you asked, and let the conversation organically take you wherever it will take you. And that's the beauty of coming prepared. It gives you that little boost of confidence. One other thing I like to do, particularly if it's a space that I am going into where I may know some of the people, maybe I haven't met them in person. These are people that I possibly interact with on social media. I will write down their names on my phone and a little bit of a snippet of the last conversation that we had. And when I see them, I will, of course, say hi, introduce myself. The excitement of seeing each other in person sometimes is just such a great icebreaker anyway. And then leading or going into where we left off the conversation. But I will admit sometimes, how people look like on social media is not how they look like in person. And so sometimes somebody might have to tell me their handle for me to go like, oh my goodness, yes, you are that person. I'm so sorry. Hello. And then, continue with that conversation again. I must say, there are times where I have been caught off guard and I'm trying to remember, who are you? Especially when you're in events where there are so many other people there, and it's just hard to kind of keep up with the different faces. We all know first impressions count, yet rather than putting their best foot forward, most big-hearted, well-intended coaches are unknowingly starting their relationships with their prospective Black, Brown, Indigenous, and people of color clients off on the wrong foot. By making statements such as the following: no, 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 no. Where are you from originally? Wow, your English is so good for a Black person. Your skin tone is not dark enough. Are you sure you're from Africa? We have a scholarship program to support people just like you. These subtle yet gut-punching microaggressions can feel like death by a thousand cuts for a person of color as they are continually reminded they don't belong. That is why I've put together a training called Microaggressions 101, where I help you to understand how to hold safer spaces in your online coaching business that will see you serve a wider and more racially diverse audience. For instant access, head over to anigishuru.com/LT. That's anigishuru.com, GICHURU.com/LT. The LT is for live training, and you can find this link in the show notes. I also like to, and this is number four, look for the smilers in the room. I don't even know if there's a word like smilers, but look for the ones who are giving you eye contact, the ones who are warm and inviting. As an introvert, I really struggle with small talk. So anything to do with the weather, the time, and just conversations that don't take us deep, I really, really struggle to stay engaged. And so when I find someone who is an introvert like me or likes to go deep, I find that we end up talking for ages, and a lot of the times I forget to then go around the room and meet other people, introduce myself, and get to know them. But that going around the room and introducing yourself, it takes time. It takes putting yourself out there. And going back to when I said we must network, it's how you grow your not only confidence, but grow your relationships and expand the people that you know, we must do that. And so take the time and even perhaps tell yourself, when I go for this networking event, I want to walk the room. I want to meet as many people as possible, but not just for the sake of meeting and ticking a box and saying I met 10 people, but genuinely meeting those people, getting to know them, and forming a relationship. Which brings me to number five. Aim to build relationships. Get their contact details, especially if it's somebody who you're really, really interested in what they do and you find that your values are so aligned. Get their contact details and ask them if you can get in touch with them. Take selfies together so that that can be one of the ways that you can break ice when you get in touch with them and say, hey, reminiscing from, the event that we attended, here is one of the photos that I took of us. It was so lovely to meet you. And the conversation just kind of grows from there. And what I've come to see with my relationships is that they've gone deeper and deeper. People that I met at an event where we got to know each other and we've kept in touch. You've got to be intentional as well. Sometimes we wait for people to come say hi to us and come and build that friendship, that relationship. You've got to be so intentional, and especially as a woman of color, things will not be handed to you. You will not always be in situations where there's somebody opening a door for you. There's somebody mentioning your name and saying, hey, this is Annie. You should know her. This is what she does. A lot of the times, you have got to be the one opening that door for yourself. You've got to be the one pulling that chair in that space and taking a seat and introducing yourself. Because guess what? Nobody is coming to rescue us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. I don't know who said that quote, but I know Barack Obama has said it in one of his speeches, and I have had it said over and over again that nobody's coming to save us. We are the ones we are waiting for. And I find that so appropriate here and now to say this to you as you're listening to this. We are the ones we've been waiting for. So don't wait and potentially that event come to an end and you look back and go like, oh, I really wanted to talk to that person. I didn't get a chance to talk to that person. And I feel like that was such a missed opportunity. Reach out. Take the opportunity that you have in that moment. Embrace it. Seize the moment. So aim to build relationships and let it go. Let it organically build to something where trust is developed, the know-like factor is developed, and you just never know what that leads to. For me, it has led to finding coaches, mentors, really, really good friends. And it's also led to those friendships turning into clients who have supported on their racial equity journey. And so aim to build relationships, and the core being that you want to get to know each other, nothing else, and no strings attached. You're just wanting to get to know each other by virtue of the fact that you share values that are aligned. There's something about that person that you're attracted to, that they're doing, either they're doing business really well, they're doing what they do well, they speak about certain things well, and you just want to have them in your corner. You want to have them in your friendship network. Number six, and I feel like this is a word that's been so overused, but I find it so appropriate to use in this moment. embrace your authenticity. I feel like authenticity has been used over and over and over, and sometimes it feels so not genuine saying be authentic. It just feels like, oh, here we go again. But that is our superpower. When you embrace the fact that you're a woman of color and you bring that to the white spaces that you're occupying, you bring your accent, you bring your beautiful attire from where you come from. You're wearing a kitenge, that's what we call them where in Kenya, where I'm from. And I remember growing up, the thought of wearing a kitenge was like not a thing. Like, do not put me in a kitenge. It wasn't even offered to me because it just felt so traditional and so not hip. And now when I go back home, there is just such, the vibe has changed significantly since the 80s when I was a little kid. Right now, the vibe is very much embracing who we are, embracing our blackness, and wanting to wear things that are locally made, our prints, and wearing them with pride. So embrace your authenticity. Bring that traditional attire that you have in your wardrobe, dust it off, wear it with pride. And a lot of times, I will say this, a lot of times when it comes to embracing your authenticity, it's the very thing that probably makes you stand out potentially in a way that you do not want to stand out, that might make you a target to be excluded, to be treated in a way that is not inclusive. And so a lot of times you will find people of color will want to blend in as a way of wanting to belong. So not wearing those brightly colored prints, not wearing our hair naturally and having our big afros and our curly hair, because we stand out. And when we stand out, it can be something that is very dysregulating for our nervous system. It's something that can make us feel like we might be a target in a negative way. And so, as you build your confidence muscle, embrace your authenticity. Bring that which is different about you to these spaces. And that becomes your superpower. When you embrace your authenticity, you're really bringing your best self into this space. And so, dress well, smell good. Get your hair done, because when you feel good about yourself, it becomes your armor. You're wearing this kind of protection around you that says, this is who I am, and I am so proud of it. And it just gives you a confidence boost that allows you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And so, I'd love to recap how to network in white spaces as a woman of color. Number one, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Number two, realize that in order to grow, we must network, and so get on out there. Number three, it builds your confidence when you continually put yourself out there. It builds your confidence. And come prepared with meaningful, powerful questions to ask so that you don't feel like you're stuck and you're staring at your phone all night, or, you know, for the duration of that event, trying to avoid having conversations. Come prepared. Number four, look for the smilers in the room. I guarantee you they're there. Look for the ones who are giving you eye contact and the warm ones. Number five, aim to build relationships. Don't just get into an event and leave. Get their contact details, particularly people who you felt in so much alignment with. Get their details. And number six, embrace your authenticity because it is your superpower.
We are represented. We are represented. We are represented.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review so this podcast can reach more online business owners, and together we can begin to normalize racial inclusion in the online coaching space. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was recorded, the Wiradjuri people in central New South Wales, Australia. Music produced in Nairobi, Kenya by Patrick St. P. Mbaru and Kambua Mathu. Vocals by Joanne Matata.